And we're going to hear our message from Pastor Don. You know, he's spoken here several times before, and he's always exciting. We gave him the theme, Engage, because we're talking through this time about what it means for us to engage in being church. It's not something we just do on Sundays where we come and watch and observe, but it's something that we take ownership of and make a part of our lives. And so, hey, we just gave him that topic in general and said, hey, go with it. So I'd just like to, again, introduce Don Battabenga. So, Don, if you could come up, we'll just say a word of prayer for you and then give it over to you. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to have Pastor Don, and really as almost a part of our church family. He's been here so often. We thank you for his witness and for his ministry, and we just pray that you will bless him and have your words come out of his mouth today. We lift it up in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, I thank God, and I thank Pastor John and the leaders of this church for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. And as he said, I'm not a new person in this church. It's already our family here. We've been coming here for nearly 10 years, and with the Free Wheelchair Mission. But Pastor John has invited me to come and speak to the church, which I accept, and I told him that I'm a soldier of the Lord, and I'm ready to serve in season and out of season. So that's why I'm here. And I understand that the church has begun a new topic on engage, and as he asked me to speak on engage, it's always difficult to know what direction to take when they give you a title. It's always very difficult, so you have to dig in and to think through so you can come up with a certain direction. So what the Lord put on my heart to share with you today, it's right there on the screen, it is engage in the world. Not to be like the world, but to engage in the world, and you understand. And why this topic, I would like to emphasize on the theme of service. Service is very needed in the world. People need to be served. And the objectives in my message is only two objectives that I'm pursuing. The first one, after you leave this place, you need to know what is your calling. What does God call you to do? It is important that you know, so you do not be around the church for a long time and not knowing what you are called to do. And the second objective is for you to understand the purpose of a salvation. We are not saved for nothing. We are saved for a reason. And there is a purpose that we need to discover. I will suggest to you this proposition is that you are not saved to go to heaven. But you are saved to serve. If God saved us only to go to heaven, then we shouldn't be here by now. Because there are many among us here that has been in faith for many years. So what the reason of keeping you on the earth while you're supposed to be going to heaven? So I don't think the purpose of salvation, it is for us to go to heaven. We know definitely we will go to heaven, but the purpose of salvation is more than that. It is to serve the Lord while we're still here on the earth. So that's what explains the reason why I chose this title, Engage in the World. But we need to understand the term engage here so you do not misunderstand me why I say that. I'm trying to go to the next the next slide. Okay. I'm not meaning to be like people in the world. Engage in has this meaning that there's so many meaning to that, but I picked these two because I think they can express the idea of what the message is all about. Number one, when you engage in, it means you're trying to do something. If we talk about engaging in the world, you're supposed to do something for the world. something to these people in the world. And the second meaning to engage in is to cause someone to take part into something. We have discovered the kingdom of God. And there are people in the world who do not know anything about the kingdom of God. We got to engage in that world so they can take part to that kingdom of God that we are engaged in. So, excuse me. I would like to go back to the passage that has been read to us in John chapter 17, verse 14 through 18. It says, it is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he is praying, he's speaking to his Father. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. This is a great prayer, isn't it? It is a great prayer. And in this prayer, there are 5 points that I took out of this prayer. The first one, the Lord Jesus said, I have given them your word. He's speaking to the Father, and he said, I give them your word. Back then, he was talking about the disciples. The disciples, he gave them the word from the Father. And he said, this is why the world hates them. Do you see that? He gave them the word, and the world hated them. It seems like the world did not hate them before. But it's only when they received the word, hey, hell breaks loose on them. The world didn't like them anymore. So there's something that the word can do. Once the word is received, it creates something. And we will see that very soon. And then he said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Okay, if the world is not good, but he talked to the Father and said, don't take them out of the world. In the third prayer, he said, I do ask that you keep them from the evil one. Well, the evil one is operated on the earth. Is operated in the world. And the Lord Jesus talked to the Father and said, please keep my disciples from the evil one, or keep them also from doing evil. And the fourth prayer, he said, sanctify them in the truth, in your word. So the word of God sanctifies. And number five, I have sent them as you sent me in the world. Jesus has been sent in from heaven to the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. Do we know this verse by heart? For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So now, this is a little bit confusing for some of us. If the world is bad, John chapter 3, 16 said, God so loved the world. And then he sent his son to the world that he loved. So that anybody who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Well, which world was Jesus talking about? Now, we understand here that once he gave the word to the disciples, the world hate them. So something has happened here, has been created. There's been an hostility and separation that has been created. Two worlds has been formed. The Lord Jesus gave the word to the disciples, and a separation is created with the rest of the world. And hostility comes in the world. So we don't love them. We hate them because they have something different than us. So there's been hostility and separation between church and the world. And I will try to explain that by giving the definition of what church means. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. This is not a lesson on Greek, but it will help you understand these things that I'm talking about. Ekklesia, it is a compound word with two different parts. The word ek, which means exit or out, and the word kaleo, which means called out of. So now, if you put all that together, ekklesia means the people that have been called out of the world. The people that have been taken out of the world, God called them out of the world. We, the saints, those who have believed in Christ, God has taken us out of that world. He called us out of that world to himself. So do you understand? So church is made up of people that have been called out of that world toward God. Now, the world, it's also interesting when you hear the Greek word of the world. It says cosmos. Everybody can say cosmos with me. Cosmos. So it's very interesting. Why? Because cosmos, it means, it has different meaning. The first meaning is the system that God created with the order in it. For instance, I'll give you an example. When you look at the forest, you'll see a lot of trees. It looks like all these trees are in shambles, you know. It's a big mess. But when God created the earth and heaven, he said it was good. So even in the forest, there is a certain order of God. And we call that cosmos. It is an organized system. We look here at the mountains. You see the mountains, you see the valleys, you see the hills, the rivers and all of that, the landscaping. It is the order of God. We call that cosmos. It is the world. It is the world. The world can also mean the universe. You look at the stars. You look at the sun, the moon, and the sky. It's all part of the world. It's called cosmos. But the world that Jesus is talking about here, it's not the hills. The hills don't hate you. Mountains don't hate you. Forests don't hate you. Trees don't hate you. But the things that can hate you, it is the ungodly multitude. The people in the world that have not received the word of God. That's what Jesus is referring to. He said, I've given them my word, and the world hit them. Not the mountains, not the sky, not the stars, but all the people that have not received that word, they hate those who have received the word of God. So there's been a separation that has been created because we receive the word of God. Now, when we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are told that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared beforehand some good works so that we can walk in them. When you look at the human beings, the way God created us as human beings, it's just so amazing. Everything is well thought about the human body. Everything is just so wonderful. Why? Because God crafted us, and we are the work of his hand. His hand, he created a human being, and then he created us in Christ Jesus. This is another expression to say God saved us. Salvation is being created in Christ Jesus. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the world so that we should walk in them. Now, what is the purpose of salvation? We are saved for good works. Not primarily to go to heaven. If God saved you because he has some work to be done here on the earth, that explains why you were born. The reason why you were born, because there is something God has decided before you were born, that once you become born again, you've got to fulfill these things. Do you see me? Are you with me so far? And so that's the purpose of salvation. And what is our calling? Our calling is to walk into these good works. There are so many good works God has prepared, and we need to walk in them. But he has prepared them before the foundation of the world. I want to bring in here a concept. It's a theological concept. I will try to make it easy for you to understand. Pastor John may understand that. It is a concept, we call it on the next slide, the decrees of God, or decrees of God. You've heard this word before. Sometimes I hear people pray and say, I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus. I laugh because we cannot decree things. There's only one that has the prerogative to decree things. It is God. Only God decreed. The word decree, it is a plan or a decision of God before the creation of the world. In other words, before the world ever existed, before God started creating things, he planned stuff. He decided things, how things will be working, and we call them decrees. And as we live today, we can't change the decrees of God. They are eternal plans of God. They are decisions he has made before you know good and bad, before you were even born. I'll give you examples. All the days of my life, I live on the earth. Anytime I wake up in the morning, the sun rises from east and it goes down to west. If you wake up one day in your life, the sun rises from west. No, it's always rising from east and goes down west all the time. It's a decree God has decided. As long as there will be a sun, there will be a day and night, the sun will rise up east. Nobody can change that. Doesn't matter how long you can pray, how much fasting you can do. You can't change that. The sun will always rise from east and goes down to west. I'll give you another example. Water that we drink water. What is the constitution of water? You know, for those who have taken chemistry class, it's H2O. In Africa, where I was born, the water I was drinking, it was H2O. I come to America thinking water will have different constitution. It's the same water. It is H2O. It's a decree from God. God has determined that everywhere in the world, water should be H2O. If you change that, it changes, it's not water anymore. If you breathe air, what is the constitution of air? It's O2, that the oxygen. If you add CO2, you breathe that, you will die. The carbon dioxide, it's not air, it's not oxygen, it will kill you. Who determine these things? It's God. We call that a decree from God. It's an eternal plan. So God, in the same way, he has plans, works. We call them good works for every believer. You are born again. You are created in Christ Jesus. He said, hey, there are good works that are already planned. All you need to do, walk into those good works. Are you with me so far? Walk into those good works. And that's why we call decree. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them and the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God knows all the days of your life. So here, don't confuse with the doctrine of predestination. Don't confuse with these things. It's another topic probably, you know, Pastor John will teach you in the church. I don't want to venture in that area, you know. But there are things God has planned for you to do before God knows, he knew when you were formed into the womb of your mom, all the days of your life. And the Bible says they were all written. How is that? You know, it's part of the decrees of God. Well, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We are told that the Lord Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with the Lord Jesus. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He will go everywhere and do good works, healing the sick and multiplying bread. And wherever there was need, he was there to meet the need of the people. He was walking in the works that God has prepared before the foundation of the world. And we are also called to do the same thing. The world that we live in is full of need. I want to give you the picture of the world we live in. In the next slide, we are told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Listen. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful. This is the world we live in. People are lovers of money. You know, the root of all evil is what? Not money, the love of money. And the Bible is telling us in the last days, people will be lovers of money. That explains all the evil we can see in the world. Loving money and boastful, haughty and rebellious, and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderous, without self-control, fierce, and no lovers of God, of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is the world, holding a form of godliness, but at having denied the power therefore. The world has no interest to what we do in the church. They have no interest because they have not received the word of God. We are in the church because we've been created in Christ Jesus. We have received the word of God. So now, how can we engage in the world? Because there is a chasm, there is a separation between the world and us in the church. How can we win them? Because they will not come to where we are. We need to do what? To engage them. We have to go to where they are. How? Through good works. Because they are lovers of pleasure. They love pleasure more than God. So they will not come to where we love God. There is a separation. There is hostility. They don't like what we do. They don't like what we like. They love something else. They have a different spirit. How do we reach them? That's the world. Are we going to let them die? Jesus said in his prayer, Father, I don't ask you to take my people out of the world, to take them from the world. But I send them to the world the same way you send me in the world. That's how we can get engaged with the people in the world. How? It's through good works. Good works. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5, it says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How do we overcome the world? How do we engage in the world? It's through our faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the next slide says, faith without works, it is dead. You show me your faith without works, I will show you my works of faith. You don't do good works, you cannot tell me you have faith. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? What good is it? Can that faith save him? you believe in Christ, you do good. We are not saved by works. Some people do a lot of good works. There's no any good work we can do that can save us. The only work that saves people, it is what Jesus did. He obeyed the Father. He came and paid the price and the sacrifice. And the Father accepted it. That was what we call a divine justice. You do good, you get rewarded. You do bad, you get punished. So the Lord Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself. He became bad. So he paid that price. He had to die. By doing so, he obeyed the Father and he gave us an opportunity to have eternal life. And the Father accepted the sacrifice and he gave him a name that is above all other name. The Bible says at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee need to bow before him. And every tongue must confess that he is the Son of God to the glory of God the Father. He did a complete work. All we need to do is believe him and walk in the good works he has set for us before the foundation of the world. So Christ is the ground of salvation. Faith is the instrument used for our salvation. And works, good works, they are the fruit of salvation. If you are saved, you are born again. It is for works. What are those works? Those works can enable you to reach out the world. We are saved not by good works. Salvation is not, works are not meritorious, as we said. And salvation is not your own doing. It's not a result of works. The only foundation of salvation is Christ. We are saved by Christ's works, not ours. But we are saved for good works. What is a good work? Now, follow me carefully on this one. Good works are deeds that are done in conformity to God's word. I know it's a little small on your screen over there. I'm sorry, those who have glasses, they can read well, but from a distance. A good work, it's something that meets the need of others. A good work, it is what is pleasing to the eyes of God. James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, I'll read for you. If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed, and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith without, by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So you have two tunics, and somebody doesn't even have one. And you say, go in peace, God bless you, be warmed. No, good work means I take one tunic, I give the one who doesn't have. So that's how I can bless him. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 20 through 22. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. You know, a heavy heart, you come and sing a song to it, it's like taking a garment out of them in the cold weather, or putting vinegar on soda. I heard when you put vinegar on soda, what will happen? You have all these feces, you know, it goes out. So you don't do that. That's not good work. If your enemy is hungry, what do? Give him bread to eat. The world is hostile to us. Give them bread. You can reach them. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. And for you heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Luke chapter 3, verse 11. And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. How do we engage in the world? We do that through good works. Good works are the believer's offering to God. You know, God has done so many things for us. When we do those things for other people, that's how we are presenting our offering to God. It's also our witness to the unsaved. Those who are not saved, we present the witness, the love of God to them. Also, when we do good works toward the brothers and sisters, it is how we edify them in the body of Christ. You know, so good works are means to meet the need of believers and unbelievers. Good works are also righteous deed. I would like to elaborate on this. They are righteous deed. A righteous deed, it enables you to please God. Any righteous deed always please God. Always. Not every good thing is right in the eyes of God. But every right thing is always pleasing to the eyes of God. And this is what we need to do. Righteous things, righteous deed, good works. For instance, when you go to Matthew, you can read that in Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about giving and sharing. When you give and share your life, your love, your services, and so on and so forth, it's a righteous deed. It's always pleasing to God. Always pleasing to God. When you care about others, it's a righteous deed. It's always pleasing to God. When you pray for people, you pray for yourself, it's always a righteous deed, pleasing to God. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. It's always pleasing to the eyes of God. And serving, it's always a righteous deed. And showing love to others, and so on and so forth. Beloved, we have good works to do. What good work are you doing? Matthew chapter 5, we read that scripture, that we are salt and light of the world. Which world? Trees? No. Rivers? No. No. Mountains? No. Which world? The unbelieving multitude. How can we engage in the world? We have to be salt and light of them. Salt is good for preservation. Salt is keeping from perishing. If we do not let our light shine, here I don't reread the whole scripture. It says, you are the light of the world. You are a city built upon the mountain, the hills, and that cannot be hidden. You are built on the mountain. People will not ignore you. If you engage into good works, they will not ignore you. They will notice it, and they will give glory to God. There are so many need in the world, but it's waiting for us to walk into those need and meet those need. And it says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand. Don't hide your light. Let it shine. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. They want to see your good works and they will glorify God. What is it you need to do? All of us, we've been saved so we can do good works to this world. The world is not only Eagle. It's not only Boise. It's not only Idaho. It's not only the United States of America. It's not only Africa. It's not only Asia. The multitude unbelieving, they are so all over the world. God wants you to enlarge your thinking, enlarge your vision. That's why Jesus talked about the world. I've sent them in the world. You have something to do to reach the people in the world. Do you have two tunics? As far as I know, all of us here, our closet is full of clothes and there's not even place to put them. Closet are full of shoes, no place to put them. We have more than we can, and we can engage in good works to reach out people in this world. We have more, beloved. So there are reward. The last thing, why do we need to do good works? God doesn't want us to work for nothing. Who are the people that work here in the Treasure Valley without being paid? Do you go to your job for nothing? No, we work and we got rewarded with a paycheck. God also will reward any person that get engaged, involved in good works, in good works in order to save this world. And Matthew 5:25-34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord will reward He's going to reward those who will be involved into good works. Matthew 25, 35 to 36. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Follow this carefully. Now, if anyone built on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and of what sort it is. If anyone work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So there are rewards in this world. They are reward. I would like to conclude here. So, and there are more other slides, but I think this is enough word that God wanted me to share with you. I would like to conclude by saying this. We've got to engage in this world. There is a separation. They will not be saved if we stay here, they stay over there. That's why in this topic of engage, I think I heard that last time they talked to you how to be engaged in through small groups in the community and so on. Today I would like just to enlarge your vision by saying expand. It's the world. You've got to engage in the world. There are so many out there that are grouping in the dark. They don't know the purpose of their living. They have need. They don't know who is going to help them. And they are on the other side. And they will not come to where you are. But you can engage them through good works, meeting their need. And every one of us, we can do that because we've been given the word of God. That's what it means. And God wants to reach the world. Who is the person in this world who refuses love? Who is the person in this world who refuses service? I give this example on the other side. I was I used to work for Winko Food for a long time, and I hurt my hip, and I had crutches. I could not drive. I could not even help around the house. And I have some neighbors, and those neighbors, they show up one Saturday morning, was sleeping in, and I hear all this noise of a machine going on, and wake up, open the window, I look. It was my neighbors. They did not give me any notice. They show up with their lawn mowers and they were just mowing the backyard and the front yard, and they were done. They left a little note, thank you, and they left. They went, they did a good work for me. I was so excited, but even though it's cut short my sleep, but I was so happy. I was so happy. They just came and reached out. Imagine if you do something good to someone in the world, even though they are hostile, they will love it. That's how you can engage the world. Beloved, we have good works to do. Every one of us. It's not only the pastor and the leaders in the church. It's everyone who has been saved, given the word of God. God, Jesus said, I send you to the world just as my Father sent me in this world. That's my concluding word today. Engage in the world. The world is in need of what we have. May God bless you, and may God bless His word. Thank you so much.